You are listening to the Life Church Podcast. To learn more about Life Church, our gathering times at any of our central Indiana locations, or our Life Crew online, visit us at lifechurchin.com or follow the link in the description. Today's talk is from Pastor Ross Steele.
So let's get started into the message of I'm Not Fine. And on your way in, hopefully y'all got a sermon notes page so you can follow along with me. Verses, everything will be up on the screen. Title of my message today is Putting an X Through Anxiety. Now, this is a personal topic, I would say, for me. Many of you who have heard my story that know my own travels, my own issues with anxiety long before Jesus and leading up to him, and even when I was in a relationship with Jesus. And I'll get to talk to a little bit more about that, but I kind of wanted to recommend a book, and I'm going to recommend it before I start because I'll probably forget otherwise, but there's a great book about anxiety. If you're struggling with anxiety today and you want to know, hey, I hope this message helps you, but another great element, another great resource for you is literally a book called Putting an X Through Anxiety. And it is by Pastor Louis Giglio down in Passion City Church in Atlanta. Great book, real short. It helped me a whole lot, but all these things do help and they're resources. But we're going to talk about the one resource that we get to call upon, and that is Jesus. And every moment of anxiety, every moment of stress, loneliness, or depression throughout these next 4 weeks. And I want to start just talking about kind of when things really, really took on like an anxious culture in our world. And that would be in the year 2012. 2012, social media became a part of the fabric of our lives, more than ever seen before, more than we could have ever imagined. And around this same time, we saw a spike in anxious, anxiety, depression, fear, loneliness. We saw a spike. And as social media continues to grow, we continue to see more anxiety, more stress, more loneliness, and more depression. Because the thing about social media is it's everybody's highlight reel. You don't see people's real life, what they battle, what they go through. You just see what they want you to see. And then we fall into the comparison trap and see that somebody the same age as us or maybe younger than us is already doing far more than us, and then we become stressed. And then anxiety's on the rise because we're glued to our phones. We don't know how to have conversations with each other anymore. And people wonder why the rates of suicide attempts and suicide in general are so high. And it's not that it didn't exist before social media, but social media definitely didn't help. And everything skyrocketed. And I'm just keeping it real with y'all. And today, in our day and age, we are living in the most anxious age that we can ever find in humanity. Ever find. Not to say that anxiety wasn't a thing in the time of Jesus as he walked the earth, as fear wasn't a thing. No, it's just that right now in our day and age, this is the most anxious that our world has ever been and has ever seen. And I want to jump to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, destruction of strongholds, depending on the translation you read. We have the divine power because of Jesus to destroy strongholds, to destroy fortresses. And we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This is how we should live our life. We take every thought captive. The enemy, when he speaks in his native language, it's lies. And he'll continue to whisper these lies that you're not good enough, that the world would be better off without you, that you're never going to escape this, that it's going to continue on, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. All of the things he will try to say to you to discourage you, to keep you in the trap that he has you in. And let me just say, as we move on, that if you're here today and you have thought the thought that the world would be better off without me, that my family would be better off without me, You're wrong. The world is a better place because of you. The world is a better place with you in it, and there's no question about that. It doesn't matter how much you've messed up or how far you are from God, the world is better off with you in it. I promise you that. And my personal story with anxiety goes back a ways. I never once experienced anxiety until my freshman year of college, and I had no idea. It wasn't just like a subtle anxiety that hit me. It was one time I was rushing a fraternity, and in the middle, and yes, I rushed a fraternity. I went to public school, and I was in a dark basement at the time because I was rushing a fraternity. I wasn't being hazed. It was just, hey, go sit in here and listen to annoying music for 10 hours straight. And anyways, all that to say, I had a panic attack in that moment. My heart started racing. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't really see straight. Everything was kind of just a blur around me. Nothing made sense. I could hear voices, but I didn't know what they were saying. And I had no idea what was happening. But what I do know is that I said, I need to go to the hospital. I need to go to the hospital right now. Something's wrong. I'm dying. That's what I thought. And anxiety will do that to you. Anxiety will do that, and if you've experienced anxiety, if you've experienced panic attack, then you know what I'm talking about. But you just kind of, for me, my palms get sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy, this bottom of my sweat. No, seriously, your palms get sweaty, and everything just kind of becomes a blur, and you don't know what's going on. And it's a real feeling. It feels very, very, very real, and I would battle it every single day. For approximately 7 months, I would battle anxiety or a panic attack every single day for 7 months. And every single time, I'd call my mom, and I wasn't walking with the Lord yet. I'd call my mom, and she would just talk to me. She'd listen. She'd pray. And I would have a drive from Bloomington to up to LaPel. That was my commute every day. I was living in LaPel, working in Bloomington. So every single day on my way home, almost like clockwork, panic attack, panic attack, panic attack. Every day, so I'd call her every day, and she would listen every day. And she would talk to me, and she would pray with me every single day. And for those who may be here questioning whether your prayers work, well, I promise you they did, because I wouldn't be standing here if my mom wasn't a praying mom. It may not be in the time that we want. It may not look the way we want, but God answers prayers as we're faithful in our prayers. I promise you. I'm a walking testimony of that. And as I called her, she would talk me down. She'd bring comfort to me. And she'd always point me to Jesus. And I didn't really have a relationship with the Lord. Didn't have a relationship with Jesus at all. And I was like, okay, yeah, I get it, Mom. Thanks. And the whole car ride. So for an hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours every day of talking to my mom. And then it would grow to be where I'd be anxious about anxiety. And I'd be like, I'm anxious about the next panic attack that's going to come, which then would bring on a panic attack because I'm continually thinking about anxiety. And if I continually think about anxiety, then I'm always going to be anxious. And that brings me to the point that most of our lives' battles are won or lost in the mind. Most of our life's battles, they're won or lost in the mind. And as I continued to think about anxiety, as I continued to fear anxiety, then I would always be anxious. And then I realized, as I continued to look to Jesus, as I built a relationship with him, as I continued to look to him, as I continued to pray, as I continued to sing worship, as I continued to talk to him, then the anxiousness would just go away. The anxiety would just dissipate, and I would go days without thinking about anxiety. And it kind of thinks of this concept that the healthy roots equal healthy fruits. Our roots need to be deep, and the fruits will grow, I promise you. What does that look like? Getting into the Word, spending time with Jesus, coming to church, that is one element. That's one element. You could feel good for one day, but what about the other six? I can only do so much as your pastor. What are you doing at home? How are you leading your family? How are you leading and raising up your children? All of this is important. All of it is important. For healthy roots, with healthy roots, we'll have the healthy fruits. And our lives, they'll always move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. What is the strongest thought? What's the one that seems the biggest? And well, our life will move in that direction. We think there's no way out, and that's our strongest thought, then we're always going to think there's no way out. And I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to give up now. There's always those battles that we have in our mind, but we can take those thoughts captive, just as 2 Corinthians says. Take those thoughts captive, make them obedient to Christ. You know, Henry Ford says this, whether you think you can or you can't, you are right. Very simple. We know what he's done. It obviously worked for him. Why wouldn't it work for us? Can I escape this battle? Can I overcome anxiety? Can I overcome fear? Can I dig out of this hole? Can I get myself out of this hole that I'm in, of this dark place? Can I live a life depression-free? Can I live a life that isn't lonely? All these questions that I ask are things that probably many of us have thought about at one time or another in our life. And whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. Because if you continue to tell yourself, I can't do it, you won't do it. If you start speaking life, saying, I can do this, I can overcome this, I can do this. And not in the way of like, hey, it's me, I'm doing it on my own strength. It's, hey, I'm calling on the Lord. God, you can do this. God, I can do this only through you, because in my weakness, you are made strong. His strength is perfect in our weakness. In a way, you could look at it that he needs our weakness for his strength to be perfect. So can we give him our weaknesses today? Can we do that? There's three truths. If you walk away with anything today, these three truths, I want you to remember. One, God is greater than whatever is making you anxious. He is far greater than whatever it is that is bringing anxiety onto your life. Whatever you're anxious about, whether it's a relationship, whether it's finances, whether it's work, whether it's what's next, whether it's something you're struggling with, whatever it is, God's greater than it. I promise you that. Secondly, you're not crazy. Some people will look at you, you'll come to them, say you're anxious, and they'll look at you and say you're crazy. You're just thinking about it. Like, just get over it type of thing. You're not crazy. Anxiety is a ploy of the enemy to try to keep us in a trap. And we don't have to live in that trap. You're not crazy. And third truth to walk away with is you're going to get through it. You're going to get through it. And you got to speak that over yourself, because the power of life and death are in the tongue. And we got to learn how to speak life over ourselves and over our situations, or else it'll always be death. We'll always have death in our life if we only think and focus on the death around us. See, the pathway to freedom is not a how, but a who. You know I'm going to talk about Jesus, and that's my job. But here's the thing. It's not that the hows don't work. There are hows, but the most important part of it is the who. All right? I'm not saying that God can't use you going on a walk every day, getting into the sun, listening to music, getting around friends. Like, these are all things. If you go to a counselor for any of this, or a biblical counselor at that, they may even suggest these things. It's not to say that God can't use medicine to help you, to get you over the hump, but don't find your identity in it. Because God didn't create you to live a life heavily medicated as the world and doctors want to do. You know, you go to a doctor and you have a physical health condition, they'll tell you to start eating right or getting right, on whether you're eating too little or too much, whether you got high cholesterol, high blood pressure, whatever it may be, they'll assign you all these things to do and on a holistic approach. Then you go and you talk about your brain and they just wanted to supply medicine. That's not right. Why is it so backwards? Because the battles of our life are won or lost in our minds. Yet everybody just wants to medicate. And I'm not saying, don't hear me, that it's not okay, that you're wrong for using medication. But is that the only thing you're doing? God can use that. God can use the doctors and the psychiatrist to help us get out of it. I understand that. But the most important thing is the who. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." He guides us. He leads us. He is our shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He leads us to the quiet waters. And we have to follow, or else we'll always be in the chaos, confusion around us. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why do we fear no evil? Because you are with me, God. I will fear no evil because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff, one is for guidance and one is for protection. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is just one part of scripture that I could look at and say, why are we anxious? Because the word says that he's with us. He guides us, and he comforts, and he protects us. He is our comfort. He is our guide. He is our healer. He is our provider. He is all things. So what are we anxious for? Because he's bigger than it all. And John 10:14 says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." It's just affirming, I am the good shepherd. Will you follow me? John 10:10, "The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." We know what the enemy wants to do. What does God want to do? Which house do you want to live in? Do you want to live in the house that only comes to steal, to kill, destroy? Or do you want to live with great freedom? Do you want to live with life and have it abundantly? There are four words that I want you to remember today. I know I gave you the three things that you want to walk away with. Four words: see, set, say, and sing. And I'm going to go through them all right here. The first is to see Jesus as he is. See him as he is, not who you think he is or who you want him to be. See him as he is. Jesus is a shepherd who is determined to protect us. He is determined to protect us. Not just because he has to, he wants to. He wants to protect us. And today, God Almighty is inviting you to let him be your shepherd. He's inviting you in. Will you let me be your good shepherd today? The second word, set. Set Jesus before me. Set him before me. There's the concept out of sight, out of mind. And if he's not set before us, it's easy to forget that he's there. You know, we talked about Jesus at the center of the nativity for Christmas. If you were here, you know, it's easy to take Jesus from the center and put the others there at the center and that be our focus. We need to put him back at the center. We need to set him before us. Psalm 16 says, "I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken." And what is the result of the fact that I have set the Lord continually before me? The next verse shows us, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices and my flesh also will dwell securely." We have gladness, we have joy, and we have security as we set Jesus before us. And these are words that we can take on in our life every single day and every moment. When you wake up, when you lay your head to rest, throughout the day, you can say these words right here: "I am going to choose to set Jesus in my view." Everybody say it. I am going to choose to set Jesus in my view. Now look to your neighbor. Say, "I'm going to choose to set Jesus in my view." And now your other neighbor that you didn't like as much. Okay. But all seriousness, these are words that it seems so simple, but it's all we have to do. I'm going to choose to set Jesus in my view. It's a choice we have to make daily and throughout our day. If we get bogged down in the weeds of all the craziness going around us, then it's easy to move him from our view and put something else there. And then we grow anxious and we grow fearful. You know, David, we talk about David and Goliath. We know David slayed Goliath and everybody was fearful of Goliath because he was so great. And why I think David was successful is because he set Jesus before him. And he knew that the God he served is bigger than Goliath. He said, God, if you're sending me here, I know that you're going to follow through. You're going to help me defeat him. It's not what I'm doing. It's what you're doing. I know, God, that you are greater than my Goliath. And that same concept we can take today, we can walk out of here with. God, you are bigger than my Goliath. What is your Goliath? What is it that bogs you down? What is it that you're anxious about? What is it that you fear? What is that today? And recognize, God, you are bigger than my Goliath. And a little piece of conviction, hopefully for you, because it was convicted for me when I put it down, is that you can't be partially submitted and fully transformed. We need full submission to God, his will, his way, his promise, if we want to be fully transformed into what he has for us and how he has designed us and created us to be. We need full submission for full transformation. And we sing a song. It says, "You have more. He has more in the hem of his garment than the camp of the enemy," which kind of inspired this fact that you have more power than the enemy wants you to think that you have. The enemy will continue to dwell. He's going to continue to call out all your mistakes, all your wrongdoings, but he wants you in his trap. But God wants you to call upon the Holy Spirit, call upon the power of the Holy Spirit to break free from those traps. The enemy will continue to bring up your past, to try to shame you, to keep you from what God wants to use you for. And sometimes the enemy succeeds in making you think that you actually don't have the power. But you do. And that is through Jesus, and that is through the cross. My third word, say. Say to him, you are my God. You are my God. Isaiah chapter 25 says, "O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name, for you have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness." The plans he has for us were formed long ago. Long ago with perfect faithfulness. No matter the situation, no matter the season we're in, no matter the weight we carry, I will exalt you. Can this be our heart today, church? I will exalt you and I will give thanks to your name. Even when it's hard, especially when it's hard, especially in the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because he is with us. He is our God. You are my God. And you don't have to feel it to say it. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to feel up to it to be able to say it. And that's where the power of life and death are in the tongue. What camp do you want to live in? You want to live in the camp of life, or do you want to live in the camp of death? I hope everybody in here wants to live in the camp of life. And I know what you're thinking, but Ross, I just want to be real. I just want to keep it real. I want to be transparent. I want to be authentic. Hey, well, how about this for real? The tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. That is real. So the fact that you don't feel that he is your God and that you don't feel like saying it doesn't mean it's not true. We just have to remind ourselves of that sometimes. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves through verbal communication. I talk to myself a lot during the day, and a lot of times it's just me reminding myself of who God is and how great he is. And I walk and pray, and I'm just continuing little things here and there that I'm continually give thanks to God because he deserves it, one, and two, it's a reminder to my heart that I belong to him. And when the enemy comes to steal, to kill, destroy, I say, no, sir, not today, because I serve a God greater than you. Your words can start writing a fresh narrative in your life. Do you need a fresh narrative? Do you need something new? You need a new beginning? You need a fresh start? Do you need something like that today? Well, your words can start writing that fresh narrative. That's the power that we have in our tongue. And a lot of people don't realize it in the sense that they'll just speak so much death over themselves, and then they wonder why they're so depressed. They wonder why things are so hard. Well, it's because you're continuing to, you're living in that the camp of the enemy. You're living in that camp of death. We need to revert, go back to the tree of life. Start speaking life over ourselves. Start speaking life over our loved ones. I don't care what your spouse did, speak life over them. They need it. And you, in return, if you're the one receiving it, even though you screwed up, you better be darn grateful. There is so much power in our tongue, and we're so quick to speak death. And for some reason, it's so hard to speak life. Why is that? That's because the enemy wants you to believe those lies of death. No, you cannot conquer what you don't call out. Simple as that. If you're having an anxious thought, you better call it out. Because if you don't call it out, you're not going to be able to conquer it. If you just want to sit in it, if you just want to mope, and you just want to be a victim in that moment, then that's on you. But you're never going to conquer it until you call it out and saying, no, I call out the demonic forces at play right now for my soul. That fear, the spirit of fear, you have not given me a spirit of fear, Lord. You've given me a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I rebuke you, enemy, in the name of Jesus. You got to get bold with your prayers. You got to get dangerous with your prayers. You got to start calling the enemy out. And if you're in a, for the married folks in here, we're in a marriage group. My wife and I are in a marriage group. It says, take the issue and put it in front of you instead of between you. And this is what it reminds me of, is because we're so quick to fight each other, but it's hard to fight. We're not supposed to fight each other. We're supposed to fight the issue. And it's hard to fight the issue if the issue is in between both of us and we can't see each other. We have to continually to remind ourselves, hey, we're not fighting each other. We're going to fight the issue together. And we that's part of calling out. That's for the married folks in here. I don't have a married message for you, but that's just a little tidbit for those who don't have the privilege of being in that group this semester. But I say all this to say that the same applies for us in our personal lives. To be able to conquer it, we have to call it out. We can't just sit and receive it and say, oh, well, this is just life. God doesn't want that. He wants more for you. And God's best is just on the other side of this. God's best for you is just on the other side of this. My fourth and final word to remind you of today is sing. Sing the praise of the one who is greater. Sing, sing, sing. Some of y'all today think to yourself, I don't know how to sing. I'm not good at singing. I don't like to sing because I don't sound good. It doesn't matter. God's not listening to your voice. He's listening to your heart. What's your heart posture? He wants your heart. What's your heart posture when you sing the praise of the one who is greater? Because worship is the most powerful antidepressant in the universe. In the universe, it is the most powerful antidepressant. You know, when I would get anxious, when I would have my panic attacks, oftentimes I would just blare. I would blare. After my relationship with Jesus, anxiety still crept around for a little bit. I had to deal with it. But I would just blare worship music, and I would just sing it out. So loud that I couldn't hear my own thoughts because my own thoughts were taking me in a different path. I needed something to overcome that, and that answer was worship. For me, and I believe it can be for you. At the end of the day, the antidote to fear isn't courage. It's faith. It's faith. Faith is what gives us the power over fear. Let your faith, I have this little sign that my mom gave me when I was struggling. Before my relationship with Jesus, she gave me this little sign. I still have it. It sits in our back room at home. It says, let your faith be bigger than your fear. It's such a simple phrase, but it's true in our lives. Let your faith be bigger than your fear. And there's a song that I love that when I started my journey with the Lord, it had just came out, or I had just heard it for the first time. I'm not sure exactly the time frame, but it was a song, Waymaker. And some of you are familiar with it, but part of it goes, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. And then it says, that is who you are. And it's just singing to God, because God, you are a waymaker. You are a miracle worker. You are a promise keeper. And you are my light in the darkness. That is who you are. And may that be the cry of our hearts today. Whatever cave we're in, whatever darkness we're in, may we be able to call upon him as our waymaker. Do we need a miracle? Call on him as a miracle worker. Do we need to be reminded that he is a promise keeper? There's over 7,500 promises in the Bible for you. 7,500 promises that God wanted you to know about. And they're all for you. He is a promise keeper, and he is our light in the darkness. And worship and worry, they can't be in our mouths at the same time. So if you're worrying about something, if you're stressed, if you're anxious, might I encourage you to worship? Because it's easy to worship when everything's going well. But are we worshiping when things aren't? Does he have our hearts? Do we praise him and exalt him when we're down in the dumps, when we're in the cave, when we're in the darkness? My life verse that I actually, funny story, I never knew I would deal or battle with anxiety. One time on my way to my grandparents for Thanksgiving, my sister, oldest sister, I was in fifth or sixth grade, and my oldest sister, I annoyed her a lot, and because I'm the youngest, aka the favorite, and it drove her crazy. But I was talking a lot, what's new, and she told me, she said, Ross, shut up. We were in the car, in the van. Ross, shut up, stop talking. And I was like, I got nothing to do. I don't know. She was studying memorizing verses of the Bible. She was in a junior Bible quiz or teen Bible quiz. And she said, take this, remember it, recite it, memorize it, whatever. And it was this verse, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And I thought to myself, whatever. Like, I memorized it. Well done. Here you go. You can have your card back. I got it. But that was the first verse I ever memorized in scripture. And God knew what he was doing all the time. The whole time, God knew what he was doing because he's all-knowing. He knew I would allow the spirit of fear into my life through my own choices, and anxiety would cling on to me for a period of time, and I would need to call upon this verse. And this was fifth or sixth grade, so we're talking 6 years down the road. It didn't come until 6 years down the road where I needed this verse. That's not a coincidence, y'all. God knew what he was doing. And may this verse be the verse on your heart if you struggle and you battle with anxiety. May it be the verse of, the Lord hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Whatever it is, find a verse, memorize it, recite it, call it out all the time. And some of us here today need deliverance. We need deliverance from our past. We need deliverance of our shame, of our past regrets, of our self-righteousness. We need that today. And these things are what we can cast upon him because he cares for me. I like to take this verse and I just replace the word anxiety with whatever it is I'm dealing with. Lord, I cast this onto you because I know you care for me. And just as I said before, it's, hey, I'm casting it onto him. That means I'm not picking it back up. It's his to carry, and he wants it. He wants it today. We're going to go into a last song, but we're going to do something a little different. Got a special song that we want to sing over you in this moment. And it's called God Can Use a Broken Man. This applies for the women too, even though it says man. But it doesn't matter where you are, he can use you, and he will use your story. And it's hard to see right now. Some of you are really struggling to see that, but it's real, because I am a broken man, and God has used me, and he continues to use me. But it's not anything I'm doing. I just have to submit my will, my desires. I have to get over the shame, get over the guilt, say, God, how do you want to use this story? How do you want to use my story?
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us, share with a friend, and hit subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you stream your podcasts. Our mission is simple. Come to life, connect to grow, find your purpose, make a difference. Thanks for listening to the Life Church Podcast.